Children, come and join me.
All right. How's everybody today? Huh? Good to see y'all. Good to see you. You're looking good. Fresh haircut. You know, for you boys, your parents know this. Brother Dusty cuts hair.
Oh.
I'd be glad to cut these boys' hair on that. Just let me know.
You work at Sports Club?
No, I have these doggy shears I use. And you can get it cut short, medium, or long. Yeah, you got three choices.
Probably.
All right, I've got something in the bag. Will, do you have anything to say? What do you think? Is something in the bag got anything to do with... there's got to be a Bible story connected to this, right?
Dirt,
yes. Isn't that what you said?
Dirt.
All right. Dirt. All right, there's got to be a Bible story. Hey, boys, y'all come over here so you can see what's in the bag. I've got something in here I think you'll be very, very interested in, but you got to be real careful because it's very fragile. What is that?
It's a bird's nest.
It's a bird's nest. But look, look what we you can see.
Eggs.
It's got eggs in it.
And they're tiny.
Very tiny.
Where's the baby's mama?
That's a good question.
Mine might be flying out of the nest and getting some of the meat.
No. This was a sad story. The mom left these eggs. These are bluebird eggs. See them? See, aren't they beautiful? And But they're just eggs, and the mom left them.
Why?
And I don't know. And so they never got to hatch into those beautiful little bluebirds. The mom left them.
Oh.
You know, they never got to be born. That they have to be nurtured and taken care of. I want you to look around. Turn around and look at all these people. You see your parents? You see grandparents? Wave to them. You see your friends and aunts and uncles and cousins and all of your church family. Do you know that God uses all of those people in your life? That's right, you do. There's one coming on to take care of you, for you to grow up. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, I quoted it last Sunday when we had the dedication service for Annabelle, that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And that's how God wants y'all to grow. That's how he wants you to grow physically, but also to grow spiritually like that every day. And God uses people in our lives to, number one, what happens, what did Jesus tell John in the third chapter about, he said, when John said, but how can I have this? What you're talking about? And Jesus said to him, you must be, does anybody know? You must be born again. And he does that in our lives, and then he helps us grow up in him. Now, we're going to thank the Lord for all of these people that he uses in our lives, okay? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that you use in our lives. To first of all, introduce us to you, Lord, and then help us to grow. Lord, we pray you'll bless them. Bless them today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Y'all can go to your kid zone now, okay? A miracle just happened. Do you know they actually sat there today and not one of them touched an egg? That's a miracle. Oh, yes, they wanted to. Wanted to take one with them. As I was yesterday afternoon, we had the homegoing service for Caroline King out on the bluff there at the river at Greenwich Cemetery out by Bonaventure. And I was remembering how long I had known Caroline in my life. And first time I met she and her family, I was 7 years old. And then to fast forward all those years, remember taking her, I had her son out on a camping trip one time. This was back when I was in college, and I had taken the younger guys on a camping trip. While on the camping trip, he had a hatchet, and it slipped, and it split his foot open. And I had to bring him home to her. And I will forget the look on her face, you know, as she, I shared this yesterday at the funeral, as she looked at me. Then for her to be a part of the church plant when we moved here, and such a vital part of everything at the beginning of this church. You never know what you're pouring into and what's going to come out of that. It might be some knucklehead kid that you think that, how in the world could the Lord use a person like that? And only God knows what they're hearing and what they're soaking up. Because I tell you, when I was just a little kid, I couldn't have even imagined that one day I'd be standing out in that cemetery and I'd be the one saying words over her life. It is a stewardship that we have, the children and all the people that God intersects in this life, if not by accident. I'm so happy to have Megan here, and it brings us great joy. We've been talking about hearing the voice of God. And just so you can go back and collect your thoughts and see how we've done this, I used the story of Samuel and his life as a person, as the Lord came and spoke to him, and then the life of the nation Israel in that story. I used that story as a foil to get you thinking about the practical aspect of hearing God's voice. A couple of questions before I continue right now. Is there something right now where you need to hear from the Lord about? Anyway. Something? You really need God to say this and not this. Or, is there a third option, Lord? And so often there is a third option. It's hearing His voice in your life and knowing that it's God's voice and not the voice of another. Well, how do you do that? Well, we've been talking about that. And it takes practice. It takes practice to know that, and it takes a lot of patience to stay at it, especially living in a microwave culture, just like this. I put the prayer in right now. You got to answer it inside of 10 minutes. Well, we then moved and saw that the word is is God's special revelation to us. He has given unto us His Word. We saw that there in the 119th Psalm, your Word is our light, and it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to hide His words in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so everything about hearing the voice of God, it's got to be filtered through, what does this Word say? But how are you going to know what this Word says unless you pick it up and read it? And when you read it, how are you going to know how to interpret it and apply it unless you have the Spirit of God who illuminates the Word to your life, who shows you that? And we've seen it time and again. We've seen that that we'll read a passage of Scripture, and it's one that we may have memorized 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or last year, and then God brings another depth to that passage of Scripture. We see that unfolding right now in history as we see prophetic scriptures about foretelling the future that are coming to light now as we see history marching on, and we see the Bible and all these the major and the minor prophets just coming true. We see it all being put together, and it's like you've got this. Someone has thrown this 1,000-piece puzzle on the floor. And it's real easy to go around and collect, if you put a puzzle together, it's real easy to go around and collect the straight pieces, to get the framework of it. And that's what we have in the Word. It's real easy to do that. But how about when you start seeing the nuanced colors of what fits here and what fits there? You know, that becomes more difficult. But the more pieces you put together, it begins to flesh out. We're seeing that right now in history. We're seeing God do that. But at the same time that that's happening right now in the culture and in the world and in history, we're a part of it. We're personally a part of it. Now hear me on this. Most churches today fall in one ditch or another when it comes to this kind of application. They're either looking at, well, the big picture over here, and this is what is going on with history and all that, and we're concerned about that right now. And by the way, let me take a time out right now. Ooh, I thought about the Atlanta Falcons. They had to go out of the country to start winning a football game. They're over in London right now. It was 21-0 a little bit ago. I don't know what the final was. Anyway, distraction alert. It's either the big picture in the Ukraine today, you know what's being decided? They've got a big vote on. Vlad over there in Russia has been rattling his saber all week long. Have you been reading about that? Do you even know what I'm talking about? He's threatening. He's built his whole economy on the fact that he's counting on America having $4 a gallon gas. But where's gas right now? It's south of 3 on average around the country. So you got pressure going on right now. This is real stuff. Here's a guy that's sitting on the second largest nuclear arsenal in history. He's sitting on it, and he's a nut. He's narcissistic. He's paranoid. And what might he do? Well, I guarantee you today that election isn't going to go in the Ukraine. It isn't going to go Vlad's way. Mr. Putin is not going to like the results that come in at the end of the day. That's going to put pressure on the world. He's angry with the Saudis. You see the picture of the UN chief that they took over there? The Israelis let him crawl through some of the tunnels there in the Gaza Strip. Did you see that? He said, "Wow, I didn't realize they were doing this." Well, man, open your eyes. Open your eyes to what's going on. Okay, here's the big picture. Let's look over here at the small picture. Here's the other ditch churches fall into. It's all about me. You come to this church, hey man, we're going to gear everything that comes back to you so you sit, you're the kingpin. Man, when you're shopping for a church, you want to shop here. Because man, we've got everything outlined for you. All you got to do is sign on the line. Click. Bingo, bango. We go by convenience. And expediency. There are rules. Now, the better part of that, that's when you're way over here, the better part of that is that I'm personally have things going on in my life. And man, I can't think about what Vlad's doing over there because I got a house payment staring me down. I got people in my family that are sick. I got somebody dying at the hospital. Let me ask you, is that real stuff? Guarantee you it's real stuff. Is this real stuff over here? Guarantee you it's real stuff. Does God want us to ignore either one? Is He speaking to us about just one or the other? No. We're intersecting right now. And He's speaking to us. I want to say to you today, we must hear His voice. We've got to hear His voice today about what's going on. What's going on in the earth. Now, made that point about hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives within you, who interprets this and shows this word to you. And I encourage you to make reading the word a daily part of your life. I guarantee you, you open and read this book and be open to the Spirit, He will bring an application of whatever you read in the word this morning sometime before the sun goes down. In that day, He is going to apply that passage in your life. I guarantee that. Well, Dusty, how can you guarantee that? Well, actually, it's not my guarantee. I'm just restating the guarantee of someone who has the power to make a guarantee like that. Thy word have I hid in my heart, thy mind. Them against God. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay. So, last week we looked at how God speaks to us through prayer, and we talked about prayer and how much a prayer is, and those of you that missed this morning, you, and if you're missing 9:30 right now, we have been on a safari through 1 Thessalonians. If you want to see Uncle Rick dance up here with questions and things and all, you know, and it stumped the preacher kind, we have a great, great time. People that encourage you, you know, really, you feel the encouragement and the love, don't you, Rick? As we are going through God's Word. But today, we were talking, he made a great point. Point we talked about last week. That one part of prayer is speaking. Another part of prayer is listening. Two ears, one mouth. God's economy. And we saw how important prayer is in our lives. Now, the other wave God speaks in many other ways, and over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about this. He speaks through his body, the church. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read this later. 12 to 14, and you see how he speaks through gifted people, and he speaks through their gifts as he is building up the body. He's going to speak through the body. That's why we can stand here today and say, the Bible knows nothing about, the Holy Spirit knows, and the Lord knows nothing about a Christian who is unconnected to the body. That's heresy. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's why I fell out with George Barna years ago when he writes this book about all these committed Christians that he calls them that are not connected to the body. It's impossible to say, I'm walking with Jesus and not be connected to his body. Now, it may not be, it may not look like the traditional body in some way, but you're going to be connected with other believers. There's no way you can stay away. It's like north and south magnets, that strong magic. You can be across a crowded room and boom, God's going to put you together. It happens. So God speaks, and he speaks through his body to us, the people who know us, the people who walk with us, who are in our lives, who intersect with us, who know us well, who can stand up and say, you know, wait a second now. What you just said, that's not right. That's not right. You can sell that over here, but do you need people to reel you in? How often I have ground and turned as the Holy Spirit took on the flesh of one Audrey Lou Wells Reynolds. And right there in front of my eyes, the Word of God was speaking to me. Because there's nobody in the earth that knows me better. You see? And we need each other. The body. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but God also, he speaks through circumstances in our lives. He speaks through appearing to people in Scripture. We're going to look at this also. He sends angels to speak. The definition of an angel is what? Angelos is a messenger of God. He speaks through angels. He speaks through his audible voice. Recorded in Scripture times when he has spoken through his audible voice. We also see that there are people that in our lives that have heard the audible voice of God. He speaks to your ears alone at times. He speaks through this internal audible voice to us. Many times we hear that, and this is the way I interpret this, we hear in the Scripture, one of the prophets will say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. Now that could be God audibly speaking to us. Most probably it's that internal audible where you know, we're going to talk about this later, not today, where he just makes something evident to you. Isn't it interesting that children, many times, that come to know the Lord at a young age, hear his voice like that, very plain. But what happened? We manage in our culture to tamp it down. Got to be careful. God will speak through sentence fragments. Have you ever had just a phrase or word that just, bang, there it is. You can't get it off your mind. as you're praying. There it is. When we pray together, God speaks like this. We'll be praying for somebody. In the midst of that prayer time, truth will come forth. God will speak. He speaks through impressions in our lives. You have a strong impression about something. You've gone by a place and you get this strong impression to stop. He speaks through fleeces. He speaks through physical manifestations in our body. He speaks through dreams. Don't discount your dreams. In the Scripture, it talks about dreams. But let me remind you, all of these things must come back and be filtered through the Word of God. And in God's order. Couple of things I want to mention to you about some safeguards about hearing His voice. Turn with me, if you will, quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It says there, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desire." Let me ask you, is that not American culture right now? Hey man, if I don't like what's being said over here, I'll come over here. I'll keep moving till I find somebody that's going to fit into my convenience and my expediency. When where's the question, what does God say? Just naturally, as human beings, we'll more change because we want to keep doing things our way. Because naturally, who sits on the throne of our lives? Who sits there? We do. Who is the throne made for? Yeshua was the one that was supposed to be sitting on the throne. So when I sit on the throne of my life, I will never be comfortable. That's why do the heathen rage? Because they're trying to live at a place, sit at a place that wasn't designed for them. We were designed, our Maker made us to serve Him. And until we're doing that with all we are and have, we're not going to be at peace. There's going to be no peace in our lives. This week, read the paper, read the internet, read the articles, look around you, and ask this question. How many people that have real peace in their lives do I run into? I'm talking about real peace. I'm not talking about this hokey-dokey, circumstantial, well, I got what I wanted this week, but next week it's going to be hell all over again because I'm not getting what I want. I'm talking about people in the midst of all kinds of circumstances that's going on in their lives, there's peace. Beware of the itching ears. Beware of false prophets. Multiple times in Scripture, we won't have time to look at all these today. Multiple times in Scripture says, beware of false prophets. And what was His promise was going to happen as His second coming comes near? What's going to happen to the volume of false prophets? Going to increase. They're going to increase in number. They're increasing in intensity. They're increase in subtlety of how to weave their way in and get in. We must be careful of shortcuts. Shortcuts. Hey, I know God had 10 commandments. But let's go Ten Commandment light. We're the church of just seven commandments. Hey, and as long as you get a majority, get four out of seven, and you're okay. You see what starts happening? You see what starts happening in people? When you crack the door, we talked about it this morning. Be careful. Beware of new truth. New truth may just be the disguise for old heresy. Let's not forget all those who have gone before. Was God speaking to them? You know, some of us, you know, we walk around like, hey, you know, we're the only ones that God has been speaking to for these last two millennia. We need to pick up some books and read some history. You know? we need to look at our roots. There's one denomination that shall remain nameless that's a cessationist denomination today that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't believe the power of God, that doesn't believe in the miraculous today. But I was talking to one of their adherents this week. I said, why don't you just go back and read the memoirs of one of your key guys, and I can show you right here where he went from town to town and the Spirit of God was upon him and signs and wonders were in his life. Well, he'd be on his way to this one city and the Spirit of God said, no, don't go there. The plague would be in another city and the Spirit of God said, go there, and he would not be infected. I want to say to you today, we got to be careful. Here's God's order. The Word of God is His foundation. Psalm 119. Look at the Hebrew alphabet. Look at the Hebrew alphabet and see the Hebrew alphabet walking through the truth about God's Word. That's the outline of the 119th Psalm. There is no replacement today for the local church. Being connected to the body and being, having people in your life that you have given the permission to be a part of who you are. To say, hey, wait a second. I love you. What leaders has He assigned to you? One last passage I'll leave you with today. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Some call this 2020 vision. It says there, we'll start in verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called him the elders of the church, where he's going to meet with the Ephesian elders. Paul is going to meet with the Ephesian elders. He calls them out for this meeting. And look what he says. When they came to him, he said, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia. And when was that? Remember that, when that was? When he set foot in Asia? Come on. That's your assignment. I'm not going to tell you. All right? How I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials, which came upon me through plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink back from telling you anything that was profitable in teaching you publicly and house to house. We had our big meetings, and we had our home meetings. And solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, race on down to verse 31. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day I did not, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. Now, back up a few verses. Verse 25. Behold, I know about all of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom that will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify you to this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Verse 28. Be on your guard for yourselves, for all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. What is he saying there? He's saying to these leaders of the church, these elders, these leaders, be careful, because error is going to try to come in and devour the flock. He goes on to say that these people, verse 30, and from among your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. We've got to be careful today as we're hearing the Word of God, as we're hearing God's voice, as He speaks through and He uses all the safeguards that He has placed in our body. If you're separated out here from the body, how easy is it for a wolf to come and devour you? I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how long you've known the Lord or anything. I've seen it happen with pastors in my life. They get burnt out on the church and they isolate themselves and they dive into error away and they are devoured. This is for all of us. We must connected. And it is through one another that we have this accountability and that God speaks to us. Now, when I say the word accountability, what rises up in you? You have an American and a Western definition of accountability, and it is wrong. Because in the West, we only think of accountability in the negative. It's so much bigger than that. He uses the word edify in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That's what God wants to do in our lives, as we build one another up in the Lord, not tear one another down. That's true biblical accountability. It's not waiting to see, I caught you, but to encourage you. I played on one state championship baseball team in my life. And I will forget when I first went out for this team. I'd been sick the year before and couldn't play baseball. And had to sit out a whole season. And I went out for this team, made the team. Remember going out to the ballpark and starting to get to know the guys on the team, who played where. You know what? They played me in a position I'd never played in my life. But you know what? I was just glad to be there. I was glad to play. In fact, they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. Because I submitted myself to what was going on in my life. We worked together as a team. We got better and better and better. when my coach, actually I had three coaches, when any one of them screamed at me out on the field, well, that's what the moms that were there were thinking they were doing. But they weren't screaming. They were putting it in a language that a 14-year-old boy could understand. With everybody else hollering out there on the field, they wanted to make sure that when they spoke, we could hear. From their mouth to our ear. You know what? After I submitted myself to that, I had no problem with it. Because I knew at the end of it, man, when I make a real good play, I backhanded one in the hole one day. Man, they were right there. Man, that was a great play. When you did something that was out of line, say, try this next time. You see? It wasn't for the purpose of knocking me down. It was for the purpose of building me up. And when they built me up, you know who else they were building up? The whole team. Because we were together. I still see those guys around town. What a blessing. God has words, not just one word. He has words He wants to speak to you. Are you willing to submit yourself where you can hear Him? Or are you unteachable? One more scenario. What if things today in the United States, circumstantially, started to be like they are in the Ukraine today? Or like they are in the Gaza Strip? Or like they are in Liberia right now? Or like they are in, you fill in the blank, you know where I'm headed today. Who could you depend on? Who would you depend on? God is connecting us together so we can hear His voice for the time in which we live. And we need everybody. Listen to me. And we need you. We need you connected, not disconnected. Not drive-by, but connected. Connected to the body. Connected to the life of what is God is going on. Because you have much to give and much to receive. Now I'm going to embarrass a couple of people. Go ahead and ask forgiveness now. Don't worry, you're going to make it to lunch. God truly had a sense of humor. Years ago, when there's this little cracker boy growing up in South Georgia in Savannah, that no matter where he's lived, he can't shake this accent. And wherever he goes, people say, oh, yeah, yeah, you. That's me. And way across the continent, Washington State and Idaho are two people. God had a sense of humor. How could He have put us together? How does God do stuff like that? Don and I don't even like the same football team. But God's got a sense of humor about that. And think about it. As he weaves us together and he's preparing us for now and for the days to come. I'm looking at some of you that I would hope to think that as your pastor, the shepherd of this flock, one of the shepherds, that I'd be willing to lay down my life for you. And let me tell you what I know. I know that many of you that would lay down your life for me. I know you would. I don't think about it that long. I know you would. I know you wouldn't throw me under the bus. That's a gift, God. And I'm saying to you today, we need to celebrate it. We need to celebrate it by, number one, appreciating. Because God's got more. And sharing that gift. What if somebody had not integrated into your life? Where would you be today? Come here, Daniel. Daniel shaved his mustache. The first time I saw Daniel, he was 16 years old, and he was riding a spider bike through Georgetown. I didn't realize he couldn't see really where he was going, but he was pumping that bicycle. It took me a whole week to catch up with him and finally get to meet him. Now, his family is a part of another church way down in Richmond. You know what? This is Daniel's church, his local body. God's connected here. Is Daniel a blessing to you? You hear that? And we're a blessing to him. How many more folks is God calling as we hear his voice? Now listen to me. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong if you can do it. I welcome the challenge. I do not believe that God is not connecting us to many more people that he wants to give the same gift to. Now who are they and where are they? They're connected to you. And to you, you, you. Now what you going to do about it? Are you going to sit on your hands and wait till Jesus comes? You going to sit in your quiet room and away from the world? Let me tell you, God hadn't called you to be separate from the world. He called you to be in the world, but not of it. He's not giving you the privilege to jerk it on out there to a hill somewhere with your sheet and wait for him to come. No. It doesn't work that way. We'll work till Jesus comes. Now, who in your life needs this gift? And how is he going to use you taking personal responsibility to give this gift away as you hear his? Amen. God bless you. Baskets, there. We'd like to get your cards if you have an offering. I love you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Amen.